me, tell me, tell me, tell me why you acting like a fool. It's the nasty things you do that send me through the roof. Tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me why I'm sitting here needing you. This shit here overdue. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, and I am broadcasting right here live in New York City. Manhattan, as a matter of fact, making it do what it do. We're going to chop up some real quick game on today's show. Not going to be too long. I want to get right to the point. But before I get into the game, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a very brief commercial break. And we will be right back to chop up game right here live in New York City on the Tariq Elite Show.
Case Ultra, the t-shirt brand inspired by ancient mysteries and modern style. Sign up for their t-shirt subscription and get a new exclusive shirt delivered every month automatically. Every shirt comes with a magazine that doubles as a poster, which describes the story and the history behind the design and the detail. It also comes with free stickers. Sign up for the t-shirt subscription right now. Tariq Radio listeners, use the coupon code KFLEX and get 50% off on your first month. That's CaseUltra.com. Again, that's CaseUltra.com. You know, one of my favorite songs back in the day from Usher is called Let It Burn. But what you don't want to let burn are your genitals. That's because casual sex is on the rise right now, and so are STDs. And yes, it can happen to you. You can't be so trusting with people out here. And you want to get yourself checked out, so you need to go to stdhometestkit.com and order their in-home STD test kit. You can test at home and you can get the results at home, and the results come in less than 10 minutes. Plus, you get instant HIV testing. No mailing off to the lab, no embarrassing trips to the STD clinic with other people you might know that's burning along with you. Go to stdhometestkit.com right now, add the KFLEX coupon code and get 25% off on your order. Step your game up and get your tickets to the Manhood and Game Seminar happening in Times Square, New York, August 31st, 2014. Speakers include dating coach Mr. Licario, Royal Flyness, and Tell E. The seminar is designed to teach men about the dating game and about manhood. You're going to learn how to value yourself as a man, how to attract beautiful women, and how to stay focused and handle your business and make money, and much, much more. Space is limited, so get your tickets now at MrLicario.com, and you spell that MrLocario.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
We are back right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and I am your host, Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, also known as King Flex. And like I said earlier, we are broadcasting live right here in New York City. Now, don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilms.com to get the movie Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. And don't forget to get that fresh gear at TariqElite.com. Now, I'm out here in New York. I'm doing some press junkets for Hidden Colors 3. I've been making the rounds. And I got some more interviews to do tomorrow. Tomorrow's my last day here. I'm leaving back for LA on Friday. Tomorrow, I'm going to be on the Combat Jack show. I love Combat Jack. That brother has very good guests on his show. And for those who are fans of Combat Jack, I'm going to be on his show tomorrow night. So check that out. And that's Thursday. I don't even know what the date is today, but just check out the Combat Jack show. And I'm going to be on there chopping up game. And I'm having a good time out here in New York. Think about New York, man. You gotta, and I'm learning this, you gotta watch these cab drivers out here. Because when I come to New York, normally I have a lot of business to do in Manhattan. I was supposed to do a radio interview out in Brooklyn. And I didn't know that you're gonna have to get like a town car or a car service to take you to different boroughs. Because trying to take a cab to different boroughs, they really try to get over on you. They try to be real slick. And I was in Harlem, and I was trying to get a cab. I took care of some business in Harlem, and I had a radio interview an hour later in Brooklyn, but it was far off in Brooklyn, and I'm thinking I can just hop in a cab and I'm good to go. So I hop in this cab. one dude, I told him where I'm going. He was like, no, no, I don't go all the way to Brooklyn. I'm like, okay, that's cool. So I get into another cab. I don't go to Brooklyn. I'm like, okay, well, Brooklyn, it's a little bit far from here. So cats are tripping. Hopefully, let me try one more person. So I jumped into this African dude's cab. And I'm like, I need to go to Brooklyn. He said, okay, fine, where you need to go. I gave him the address. It was deep in Brooklyn. I think it was Kingsborough College, that area. So I give him the address. He punches it in his phone. And he finds out that I'm not from here. Finds out that I'm visiting. So the scam wheel started rolling. So this dude kind of drove me around Manhattan. Rode around in a circle. And then we got to Battery Park. And he was like, he pulled over and said, okay, here you go. This is the area. I'm like, wait, what is this? This is Brooklyn. And I'm seeing, like, I'm like, Battery Park, that don't sound like Brooklyn. Then I'm looking around and I saw something about, like, the World Trade Center. And I'm like, well, I don't look, brother, you sure? Yeah, this Brooklyn. That'd be $60. Try to charge me $60 from going to Harlem to Battery Park. I'm looking around, then I get on my phone because I got my iPhone, so I'm using the Google Maps service, and I'm like, wait a minute. Dude, we're in Manhattan. Then he started acting lost. I started taping him, by the way, too, because then I saw the scam. When I started taping him, he started slowing down on the scam. And he started acting lost. I don't know my way around. Dude, you a cab driver. You know your way around. So I'm smashing on the dude. And he's still driving me around in circles. I'm like, hey, man, just take me back to my room. I'm missing my interview. I got an interview. I just missed my interview, and I'm messing around with you. So he's driving around in circles, getting the meter up, because the meter was already $60. Then it got to damn near $100, and I'm like, this dude, I just told him, bro, you might as well turn that meter off. I'm not giving you no paper, dudes. So he dropped me on off and, you know, kept it pushing. But lesson learned. When you come to Manhattan and you gotta go to different boroughs, take the subway or get you a car service. And that's what I did today. I had some more interviews around town and had to go to some other spots. I went out to Staten Island and I just had a car service, the Gotham car service. Shout out to those brothers and sisters over there. Very good car service, and I handled my business. So I'm learning the New York hustles out here. But other than that, real good folks out here in New York. I went over to the memorial site. I want to call it a memorial site, but a respect site, a makeshift memorial site for our brother Eric Garner, where he was lynched by the white supremacist police officers last week. I went over there and I paid respect there. And again, I say this because I talked about this on Ustream. For those who don't know, there's a black man named Eric Garner who was innocent. He was confronted by the police. The police got into an altercation with him and put him in a chokehold, and he died. So there's been a big brouhaha about that all over the country, especially here in New York. So tensions are very high. And I've been saying, and I said this on my Ustream show, a lot of people are protesting in Harlem and Brooklyn and all these places, but people need to be protesting right there on Staten Island. That's where people need to bring the heat. It was very quiet over there, I noticed. While everybody was in Brooklyn and Harlem and all these places, I'm right over there trying to see what's popping. And again, the tension, you can feel the racial tension around the city. It's real heavy. And I noticed when I was in Harlem, police patrols all over the place. There's cops crawling all over Harlem, just patrolling the streets. And the reason why they're doing that is to protect the white residents, to make them feel comfortable. Because that's that gentrification coming in full force. They're really, that presence there is really, really, it's almost like a police state. The cops out there are very heavy. And not just there, just all over from what I'm hearing. People are saying this is all over different boroughs. So it's very interesting what's going on out here in New York. There's these group of dudes, and I see their videos posted up all over the place, especially like World Star. These white dudes, or these dudes who appear to be white, they do these so-called hood pranks. And they do them normally in places like Brooklyn, in lower income areas. They call them hood pranks, where they go around lower income areas where black people are and pull these pranks on black folks, like walk up to them and snatch their cell phone or snatch a hat off their head or just do something real, real wild and off the wall. And they tape the reactions of everybody. And it's very interesting. They've been doing interviews and they've been getting a lot of publicity for this. And their community activists speaking out saying, hey, these guys are going to end up getting hurt. But the thing is, these guys, and I've always said this, a lot of these people, they send in folks to test the community out to see how much they can get away with. They send in testers, and they do this through osmosis. A lot of times this isn't like a spoken thing, but just on a psychological level, on a mental level, like a telepathy level, they know how to do this. Certain people know how to go in and fill out communities to see what they can do and get away with. And then when they can get away with certain things, then the rougher dynamic comes in and starts taking over, the more violent dynamic. So these guys are going into these areas with these so-called hood pranks, and these dudes who, again, appear to be white, they know that with all of this police presence out here, they can go in here, and if anything really, really happens to them, they can play that victim role. If something really, really, really happened to these dudes, they'll be snitching like it's nothing. So they have that knowledge in their back pocket, so that's why they're so freely going into these neighborhoods. But something is going to happen to these dudes. I really predict that something serious is going to happen, because they're going to run up in the wrong spot, and some of these brothers ain't going to really give a shit and really give them the business. So that's going to be very interesting to see how that dynamic plays out. But again, while I was in Harlem, I went up to Sylvia Soul Food. Shout out to the brothers and sisters at Sylvia Soul Food. I was talking to some folks on Twitter because I posted up some food and stuff like that. And there was a rumor that Sylvia Soul Food was sold to Asians, that it was Asian owned. But then some other people said that was like an urban myth out here, that the Sylvia Soul Food family, her family, they own the place. Something very interesting I noticed when I was in Sylvia's. Now, the food was great. By the way, let me say that right off the rip. The food was great. I enjoyed the food. But something very interesting I observed, me and my family. My family's out here with me, and we observed something very interesting. And black folks, especially black businesses, you got to cut this out. We're in Sylvia's, and from what I understand, it's kind of infamous for having bad service. It's kind of infamous for being a place where the service is not really that spectacular. The food is good, but the service is kind of janky. And I noticed the service was janky for the black folks, because when we got there, you know, it took a minute for them to seat us. You know, we were waiting around, just kind of standing around, waiting on a hostess or a host or somebody. I'm just looking around like, you know, hey, anybody going, where do we sit? Where do we go? So we're sitting around, standing around, looking confused. And then after they sat us, more confusion. We didn't know who the waiter was. And it took them about 5-10 more minutes to bring some water out. Then another 5 minutes for another waitress to come out and take our order. So it was a whole thing. We're like, God damn, you know, the service is kind of shitty. But we noticed something, though. We got the shitty service from this black establishment. But when some of the white people came in, man, them black folks rolled out the red carpet. Them white folks didn't wait 3 seconds when they walked in. The minute they walked in, all the black staff ran over. Hey, come right, walk right over here. Here, let's get a table. Water, drinks, menu, just right off the bat. I mean, it just really took seconds for them to get everything they needed. And this happened over and over again. We notice this. Anytime a white couple or a white family come in, the black staff just runs to their beck and call. Black businesses, y'all going to have to cut that nonsense out. Because if you're going to give good service, give it to everybody. Don't give janky service to people who look like you because you got some type of inferiority complex. And then when other people come in, all of a sudden you step and fetch it. And I won't even say step and fetch it. You're doing what you're supposed to do. Give that service to everybody, because now the whole community is looking at your business funny style because you're treating them funny style. And the community has been supporting that business for years. You understand? So please get off that treating the black customers janky, but then rolling out the red carpet for everybody else. That's a very bad look, and that's a very bad habit that black people get into that we're going to have to cut out. But other than that, again, I love the people out there, and I was walking around, met a lot of folks. A lot of folks I ran into saw Hidden Colors, showed a lot of love, and I ran into some bootleggers. I had to regulate on some bootleggers, and I confiscated cats' DVDs. When I saw cats had my stuff out there, I had to go ahead and raise those DVDs up off of them, and I let cats know. And I think the word got out because some cats had my stuff, and they start copping, please. One dude was like, well, this ain't really my stand. I'm watching it for somebody else and all the blondes. I said, okay, well, look, what I'm going to do, I'm going to get these DVDs up off you. Y'all don't sell my stuff no more. Y'all know better than that. Y'all support my stuff, and we need group economics. Y'all stop trying to undermine cats. So I think the word got out because I was walking around looking for more bootleggers, and I saw cats were kind of hiding stuff. So the word might have gotten out, but I caught a couple of cats, and, you know, it is what it is. I'm not trying to be on some rah-rah gangster nonsense, but again, if I see cats bootlegging my joints, you know, we're going to have a little problem. I'm going to at least raise those things up off you and keep it pushing and keep it real mackish and keep it fly. Because, again, these are my brothers and sisters out here, but we got to do the right thing. And it's time to start regulating on people who ain't abiding by a certain code. We got to have a code of conduct. That's very important for us. We got to really have a code of conduct, and we got to abide by that conduct. And we got to start regulating on folks who are not abiding by the conduct. We can't have dusty behavior out here with these dudes. That's not the business. We can't have that. Now, another thing I like about New York, I was over in Brooklyn last night. We took the subway, just kind of rolling around, seeing what's happening, just riding the subway for the experience. And we went over to Brooklyn. I think it was 60th and 4th Street. I think that's it. And we were over there like at 9:30, 10 at night. Only in New York would you see a bunch of kids out at 10 o'clock at night on a playground playing. It was some playground over there. It was pitch black, like a little basketball court and a track court over there. And it was like literally there were no lights or nothing, but it was a bunch of little kids out there at 10 o'clock at night running around playing. And I think it might have been the little Puerto Rican neighborhood because we bought some empanadas over there and some little ices. So I don't know where we were, but we were over in Brooklyn. Real good folks over there. We had a good time. But, again, I love coming on out here to New York. And, again, I got a couple of interviews to do tomorrow that I'm going to keep it pushing. I'm going to get back out there to L.A. and do my thing. But what I want to talk about, again, just noticing a lot of stuff that's going on out here, is the purge mentality that's happening. I hope you guys saw the movie The Purge. The Purge is a great movie. If you haven't seen The Purge, the new Purge, y'all need to go see it immediately. Very good movie. Very deep, too. A lot of stuff that happened in the movie The Purge, it's almost like it's happening now. The movie had a lot of great metaphors in it. And I'm going to give a couple of spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, I would say wait, pause this, go see it, and then play this so you can feel where I'm coming from. But I'm going to give a few spoilers about the movie. Real good movie, man. The Purge really represents systematic white supremacy and the desire to not just punish black folks, but to get rid of certain black people. There's a desire within the dominant society that innate white supremacist mindset that certain people have that makes them want to sacrifice black folks to feel better about themselves. And that movie, The Purge, was based on that dynamic. And they were very blatant with a lot of stuff because a lot of the people they were purging were black folks. They had a scene where there was an old black man who was dying of some, I think he had cancer, and there was this rich family who gave him $100,000 to sacrifice himself, and he was going to give the money to his family, and he was going to sacrifice himself to be purged and killed in their home. There were other scenes where black folks were used to capture other black people so that they can go to rich white people and be purged by them. There were people purging each other in the streets, and there was a like this club of rich white people who didn't want to go out in the streets purging. They paid other people to get victims for them, and they brought them to this place, almost like an an auction house, and it was very metaphorical of slavery. They brought these black people in and these people of color in, and these well-dressed white people in suits were bidding on who would get purged first. It was very heavy, very, very heavy, man, the dynamic of this movie. And it reminded you of slavery. It literally reminds you of slavery. And there were these rich white people watching these black people in a room running away from these people who were hunting them. It was real deep. It reminded you of not just slavery, but the whole lynching mentality where people would dress up and pick black folks to lynch. Real deep stuff. And the fact that they had a lot of black actors and actresses in this, very heavy stuff. But again, that purge mentality is happening to us as we speak. We keep seeing situations over and over where those in the dominant society are harming black people, trying to kill black people, killing black people. And they let law enforcement do this. And that purge mentality is something that we can't convince anybody to stop having. You can't moralize it. You can't pray it away. The one thing you can do is create a system where you can protect yourself from that. And you can do that by getting your economic game in order. And I was talking to some reporters about this today, about how to combat systematic racism and white supremacy because of all these racialized incidents that's happening. See, the dominant society, they're not playing with white supremacy. They're going back to the Jim Crow era. And the thing is, we can't sit around playing games with that. We got to be in a position where we can protect ourselves, and you do that economically. You got to get your economic game in order because your numbers ain't where they're supposed to be. But if you get your money together and at least protect yourself, that's where we can get things popping so that the impact of systematic white supremacy won't be so severe. See, they got stuff now. I've been hearing a lot of stuff on the radio, especially out here, some gun buyback programs. Don't you sell your guns? That's the last thing y'all need to do right now. They're talking about gang members and gangsters and all these people. You get $100 if you turn in your gun. That's the last thing you should do right now. Because these white supremacists are not playing. They ain't turning in nothing. They're buying guns by the droves. Now, if you're a gangbanger or anybody with a gun, just don't shoot other black folks. It's just that simple. Keep your gun. Don't shoot nobody black. Keep your gun. Just don't shoot nobody black. But do not give your guns up. Don't turn them joints in because they got these militia groups out here. Even with the police, they got people out here who are trying to protect the police officers who killed our brother Eric Garner. They're trying to come up with excuses now to possibly exonerate this guy if he were ever to be brought up on charges. Because the thing is, he needs to be charged. The officer has not been charged for not only killing this guy, but killing him with an illegal chokehold. This dude should have been arrested. And that's what I'm saying. People should be at the police officer's house. People should be at the police officer's house. Well, we got some noise in the back. People should be at the police officer's house or his neighborhood demanding his arrest. Black folks need to be very specific about what they want. And all these law enforcement people, they're protecting this guy. We need to be demanding that dude's arrest. Daniel, what's his name? I had his name Sunday. Pentaleo, that's his last name. Daniel Pentaleo, that's the police officer who administered that chokehold. So we need to be demanding that dude's arrest, and he needs to be brought up on charges. And again, if we had our financial game in order, we could be in a position to pull off whoever the police commissioner is. He can be pulled out of the game if the financial economic base was in order. If black people had their economic game in order, you can get the mayor out of office if he didn't do anything about it. You can get these police commissioners out of office if they don't do anything about it. But the thing is, we're sitting up with the marching and the singing, and that's not enough. You need your economic game in order to get these people removed from the system. So this is why we got to get very serious about how we get down economically to combat all of these violent outbursts that's happening. Not only that, do we need to get our economic game in order. You better get your gun game in order. You better get your military game in order to protect your communities, because this is only going to get worse. Like I said, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but when people keep seeing that they can do the same thing over and over and over again, it's not going to stop until you get up and do something. And again, I want you to watch that movie, The Purge, because there was a scene. And again, they tell you a lot of stuff in this movie on how warfare goes down. There was a cat in the movie who was like this YouTube militant guy, a black dude. And his whole thing, he had like this organization, almost like a Black Panther type organization, that he organized to combat people in the dominant society who wanted to purge folks. A lot of these rich elites, he had a military force against that. Now, they showed him a little bit. I wanted them to show more of him smoking those dudes, but that character was very, very deep. So, again, I want y'all to see the movie The Purge. Real good information in that movie. And the brother, who was the leader of this black militant group, he said, like, the people, it's something to the effect of the people in the dominant society, they won't change until their blood is spilled. It was something real deep he said, and it's very true. When people feel danger within their communities, when they feel the brunt of your pain within their communities, when they feel that stress in their communities, that's when people will wake up and kind of pull back. But black people acting scared and just allowing all of this stuff to happen, that's not going to work. And they're going to continue to purge you. They're purging you, and they're trying to purge us as we speak. So we need to be putting our heads together thinking, okay, how are we going to replace the system of white supremacy with a system of justice? It's very important. All right, now let me get up out of here, y'all. Like I said, it was going to be a very quick show. I just wanted to shout out to everybody while I'm here in New York, having a good time, making a do what it do. I will be back in LA this weekend. Check out my man, the Combat Jack Show, tomorrow. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Don't forget to go to TariqElite.com to get the gear, and don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get the DVDs. We're fully stocked up. There's no excuse to get bootlegs, because I was talking about this on Twitter about cats having bootleg copies of the Hidden Colors DVDs, and they were like, well, they ain't available. They're plenty available. You can go right to the official site at HiddenColorsFilm.com and get your real copy without any problems. All right, I'm gonna holler at you guys Sunday on Ustream. Peace.